Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for meeting us wherever we are, alone or with others. We thank you for being here, and would you lead us by your Spirit as we look at a prayer or look at a situation in the Bible? And this is in the Psalms regarding King David. And may we learn from this psalm, and may we praise you as he praised you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in Psalm 34 today, and the question I have for you, when is the last time you did something that was really, really dumb? And don't tell me about that. But this psalm is following something that David did that was really, really dumb. And rather than exalt in the folly of it all, he turned to praise the Lord. And so I think there's something here for us all. Psalm 34. So let's sing this song together, Grace Greater Than All Our Sin. And that kind of sets the tone a little bit for this psalm, I believe. And the words are on the top of your sheet there.
Marvelous grace of loving Lord, praise that.
Psalm 34 is entitled, The Happiness of Those Who Trust in God. And then a footnote right under that, a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Now, to get the context, I think we want to go back to 1 Samuel 21. And David has just defeated Goliath, and then he was praised by the people because he then led the army so successfully. But Saul got jealous of him, and so Saul's hatred is mounting of him, and now he wants to kill him. And so David's close friend Jonathan said, well, let me check it out with Dad, and if he's really serious, then I'll give you a signal, and that means he's serious. I don't think he is, but I'll try to talk to him. Well, we know the story. They went out to shoot the arrows and so forth, and so Jonathan informed David that, yes, his father wanted to kill him. So he flees, and he goes down to Nob, where the high priest Ahimelech was, where the priest Ahimelech was. And in verse 7 we read, or verse 8, and David said to Ahimelech, is there not a hand on a spear or a sword? For I have brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. So the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, there it is, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you will take it, take it, for there is no other except that one here. And David said, There is none like it. Give it to me. Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. That is dumb. Where is Goliath's hometown? Gath. Would they not have recognized this great big sword of Goliath when he came into town? I mean, talk about going into the enemy's den and then carrying the sword of your hero that you killed. I don't think that's really very smart. And, of course, we know then that when David got there and he recognized that he was recognized for who he was, and he then became very fearful. And so now he's going to be killed by the Philistines, who are their archenemies. And they said, well, isn't this the man David who said that they praised Saul for the tens and hundreds that he killed, but David for the thousands of Philistines that he killed? And so now David freaks out. So he feigns this madness, and he scratches at the gate of the city, and he's drooling all over his beard. And Achish sees him and said, get that crazy, insane man out of here. I don't want him around. And so David fled. Now he writes this psalm. He turns this whole situation into one of where I think he recognizes the beauty of his godly upbringing, the beauty of the godliness in the area where he's living and has been all his life. And he goes to the wicked city of Gath, and he must see all of the lying and stuff going on there, as we'll bring out in the psalm here pretty soon. Then he goes back, of course, and rather than make excuses and all this, he just praises the Lord. Isn't that great? So when you do something really dumb, and I've had experience in that quite a bit, but I haven't had the experience maybe quite as well as David in praising the Lord when I get done with it. So maybe we can learn from this. So the first three verses here are some of the greatest praise verses in the whole Bible, in my opinion. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Isn't that encouraging? Kind of convicting too, isn't it? Second verse, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Is that not a beautiful praise summary there? Speaks so much to us, doesn't it? And then going on, he says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Yes, he was about to be put to death there in Gath, it would appear. But he sought the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered me from all my fears. And how that fits every one of us, too, as we look back and see how he's delivered us. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him. I think this is also very encouraging for us. David at this time was not a king. He was a nobody, really nobody. And yet God hears nobodies. Isn't that comforting? God doesn't just listen to wealthy, smart, successful. Well, I guess wealthy and successful may be the same. I'm not quite sure. But anyway, the high society, God doesn't, he's no respecter of person. He cares about anybody who calls on him, whether he's rich, poor, educated, not educated, or what, has nothing to do with what our culture holds up as being a successful person here. So he says, the poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him. He's talking about himself, I believe, and saved him out of all his troubles. Now that fits you and it fits me, doesn't it? Can you look back and say he's never saved you out of all your troubles? I don't think so. Now we have the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Praise the Lord. And then he gives some exhortation and to pay attention. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So he is saying, don't just take my word for it. Approach God on your own and see what he's like. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. You know, somebody who doesn't know the Lord doesn't have any fear of the Lord. And the more we know the Lord, the more we are in awe of him, right? Because of who he is. He's so awesome. So here he says, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger. but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. And now, further exhortation. Come, you children, listen to me. Here's a little more instruction for us. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? How many of you love many days that you may see good? I think all of us. Keep your tongue. Here's what we do then. Keep your tongue from evil. Oh, that verse is for me. I don't know. Might not fit you too well. Boy, it fits me. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Guile in the old King James. Keep your lips from speaking deceit. And then 14, great verse, depart from evil and do good. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. That's about as far away from the world's way as you could get, isn't it? Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Evil will fall upon itself. Sin will fall upon itself and destroy. The wicked are going to be destroyed by their own evilness, even if God doesn't destroy them. But God will destroy all evil, all wickedness eventually. Verse 17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those. To those what? To those who have a broken heart. And he saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many times we see the broken heart and the contrite spirit are the things that God loves. Jesus said, learn from me, for I am lowly and gentle in heart, didn't he? And then verse 19, this is for you and for me. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You ever think you're getting more than your share? Well, believe me, over time, I think God handles all of us the same. I don't think he's, well, I'm going to pick him out or pick her out. Man, I'm just going to load the afflictions on them. But, you know, they kind of do come. They don't come like, well, every 13th day I'm going to have one, and then, you know, then I'm okay for another 13 days. No, you know, they come in bunches at times. But many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Is that good news? Well, you don't know the one I'm going through right now. This is too great for God. He won't be able to handle this one. I mean, he's handled all of them in the past, yeah, but I've never had one like this. This is beyond. No, he will deliver you out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked. There it is. Evil shall slay the wicked. Their own doing shall slay them. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. So the next time your blood vessels bulge out on your neck and you're like this, how could that person say that? I mean, break out their teeth, Lord, shut them down. Their evil is going to destroy them, or God will take care of it. So we don't have to fight his battles, do we? Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. And then the closing verse, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Sounds like Romans 8:1, doesn't it? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you feel condemnation today, or any day, if you feel condemnation, it's not from the Lord. It's from the condemner. It's from the evil one. Father, we thank you for this psalm. We thank you that the bottom line here is praise and thanksgiving to you. Your righteousness and your justice and your grace and your mercy are so immense. But we get such a great flavor of it through the psalmist David, who you have gifted so beautifully, and who the Spirit writes through in such a beautiful way that touches all of our hearts and so wonderfully well. So, Lord, may we come to you rather than launching off into doing something which will turn out to be really stupid, really dumb. And Lord, if we do err and go to Gath, may we just stay close to you and knowing that you will see us through and deliver us safely. And may we turn that into praise, and may we say, as we look at the wickedness of Gath, may we be so thankful for the righteousness that we feel when we're walking with you. And it's not that, well, I looked into the world and, man, I'm really missing something by not being there. No, we just know the wicked and the evil will slay themselves. There's no hope. There's nothing for them if they persist in that. And for your children, it's all beautiful, Lord. Help us to show that to others, Lord. Now, as we have a few moments to pray, Lord, lead us and guide us by your Spirit to redeem this time as we would pray. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for meeting us here again this morning, Lord, and I pray that as we go, we would be in a continual closeness to you, Lord, walking with you and being led by your Spirit, Lord. And Father, help us to keep our eyes on your power, Lord. When we think of your power in the past, Lord, the deliverance the children of Israel out of Egypt, of crossing the Red Sea, of parting that and parting the Jordan River over flood stage to take Jericho and all the conquests. We thank you of the history of the church and all the powerful things that you have done. And Lord, we so limit you, it seems like, in our thinking that, oh, we got bigger problems today than we've ever had. Oh, I don't think so, Lord. I don't think there's any limit to your power. And Lord, I thank you that the power of prayer is as effective today as ever been. And so, Lord, help us to pray. The greatest weapon that you have given us, I believe, and your word, Lord. Help us to be constantly in your word and being led by your word. So guide us today, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.